Okay, first of all, thank you for hosting.
Pleasure. Just one thing. These were cooked in a meat oven.
Okay.
But it's been 24 hours, so just don't dip them in milk.
And we're recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
So our goal for this brief series is a focus on parenting. And one word to the wise, which is, I'm a parent in training, so I use this as a measure of self-reflection. I definitely would not pretend to be an authority on parenting, certainly not an expert, and my kids will attest to that. But I do think that thinking about parenting and learning aspects of Torah that are pertinent to parenting certainly helps me and can help all of us. And it's actually very timely in terms of thinking that we're just about 2 weeks away from Rosh Hashanah, thinking about parenting. Thank you. Because parenting, I would say, in my experience as a parent these past 13 years, has been one of the greatest spiritual channels and catalysts for growth. Because being a parent, if you're honest with yourself, is a window into your own life. It's a mirror into who you are and how you are. And it's an opportunity to self-reflect. You know, and as our kids grow older, we need to ask ourselves different questions. You know, and isn't that the greatest engine of growth? Self-reflection, asking ourselves questions. How are we behaving? What are we doing? What kind of people are we? So however we want to project, you know, to our kids, means that we need to think about for ourselves what kind of people we are. So I think that reflecting on what kind of parents we are can help us in our al derech ha'avoda, in our progress to become closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam and closer to ourselves. Because if we're serious about parenting, it means we're serious about thinking about what kinds of people we are and how we want to be in our own homes, b'chadrei chadarim. And in that respect, we can think about how we come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I wanted to share with you tonight, and next week also a little different, a piece of Torah which is not written about parenting, but it's written about someone who has written a lot about parenting, is an expert on parenting, is an expert on many things. And this particular piece of Torah, when we're finished, I hope we can use to apply in our own lives, both in how we relate to our children and in how we relate to ourselves as parents of our children. This passage that you have in front of you is a passage from a sefer called Alei Shur. Alei Shur is a collection of essays, of monographs, of drushas, and thoughts by the late Mashgiach Rav Shlomo Volbe. Rav Shlomo Volbe was a sought-after, I would say, ethical guide in the world of Musar. He lived in Yerushalayim for much of his life, and he was a sought-after source of advice and guidance by many people in the Olam HaYeshiva and the Yeshiva world. He wrote published two volumes of Alei Shur, and then after he passed away, there also is a beautiful collection of letters of Igros and Ksavim that Rav Volbe put together. And his approach, and I'm not an expert in Rav Volbe, but from what I have learned, his approach and what speaks to me and speaks to this piece is that it really addresses the here and now. It's not an ethereal, philosophical approach to life. It's dealing with questions that boys had in yeshivas, avreichim have, couples have, families. It's dealing with real life issues and real life personal growth and struggles that we have as B'nai Torah, as Balabatim, as aspiring Jews, and dealing with real issues that we face, which is really important. It's not sugarcoating it, and it's not talking about, you know, issues that maybe people face in the 12th century. It's talking about today in the world in which we live, and he only died a couple of years ago, how do we think about ourselves and our growth in Avodas Hashem? So in this piece, which is the fifth chapter here in Chelek Aleph, called Yemei Ha'ava V'Yemei HaSinah V'Hayish, the days of love and the days of hate and the despair, he quotes a piece from Rabbeinu Tam. So in a certain sense, it's not his original idea. The way that he frames it is unique, it's original, but this idea comes from Rabbeinu Tam. So what that means is what we're about to learn was authored Rabbeinu Tam died in 1171. It's over 800 years old, this piece of Torah, and it's written by arguably the greatest of the Baalei HaTosfos, perhaps the most authoritative Rishon in the world of Ashkenaz, the Rabbeinu Tam, Milanu Gadol from the Rabbeinu Tam. And Rav Olde takes this piece, and I first learned this piece when I was in Shana Aleph in Keren B'Yavne. And this piece has stuck with me since then, and it has meant different things in different times in my life, but it is so powerful. And as we'll see, I think it's extremely pertinent, not just to Yemei Elul, but really as parents. So he quotes, we're just going to start in the middle where he puts the indented bracket, because the way he's framing it is in terms of a ben yeshiva, we're going to talk about it in light of parenting. So Rabbeinu Tam starts the following. He says, Kol maskil laso shum maisa. Anybody who engages in any activity, im yeh lo b'maisa hu shum hana, tikanes bo hataiva. If a person gets enjoyment from this process, from this project, from whatever he's doing, he or she is doing, so then there's going to become some motivation. There's going to be an interest. You're excited about it. Initial reaction is a love, an attraction, an interest. However, he says, V'achar kein tasur v'tikanes belibo hasina ulekeitz yamim tasur. After that, there becomes a period of rejection, of frustration. Maybe you could call it of boredom, wanting to look for the next thing. V'chein yischalfu tamid. And so, these feelings of interest and disinterest, of love and hate, they switch. Yasur ha'echad v'yavo hasheni. Ach, imtia hanas ha'oved ba'avodaso gedola. If you really enjoy what you're doing, v'yeshlo seichel, tamur ha'ava yamim rabim, v'asina yamim mispar. How many people who love their job don't have frustrating days? Right? I would argue that everybody has frustrating days, even people who love their job. So what's the difference between the people who love their job and the people who don't love their job? Someone would argue, what do you mean? Everybody has good days in the office and bad days in the office. The answer is that the people who really love their job, most of their days are days that they're happy to go to work. And they're motivated. And they're, you could even say, they're inspired. And the period of frustration is very limited. The people who are unhappy at work, they have prolonged periods. And we all know people like this, and maybe we even had this in our own lives, our own careers. They have prolonged periods of frustration. The Yemei Asina, they just pile one on top of the next. V'im lo yeh lo seichel tov v'im lo ba'avodaso hana gedolo oz yavo alav mimeno hana mitzad echad u'muhuma mitzad acher. And then what happens is you might find those days that you are feeling good about it, but because there's not a ava gedola, there isn't a real feeling of happiness, so then it's not going to last long. It's interesting, today I was listening to someone lecture recently about millennials, which was an interesting discussion in and of itself. One of the things they talk about is the idea of a mission or a purpose. You know, sometimes when I need a break, so Nechama and I will take a little bit of relaxation. We'll watch this TV show called Shark Tank. Shark Tank. I find it is super interesting. I learn a ton from this. It's really fascinating. You listen to how business people think. I think about it. I actually, part of the reason that I watch it is because I think about the kolol. In a certain sense, the kolol is like a business. So you have to be innovative and you have to be thinking, you have to be strategizing. So it's very interesting. So one of the things that you see, and this idea, the whole people making their business pitches, is you see a lot of these young people, millennials, who make a pitch, and what's a lot of their pitch? They have a mission. It's a business, but it also has a mission. The mission is to spread, you know, socks to Africa, or the mission is to engage, you know, whatever it is, it's mission-driven. That's a big thing that I notice that they're talking a lot about for young people, and they made the same presentation, this millennial presentation, mission-driven. The Rabbeinu Tam, I don't think he was a millennial, and I don't know if he was involved in mission-driven life. I don't know if he would have watched Shark Tank, if he would have had time for that. But the idea that Rabbeinu Tam says, would say to a millennial is, if you have a strong mission, well, that mission is going to propel you through the difficult days in your business, because you believe in your mission and the mission is driving you, and that's your Yemei Ahava. That's the sense that's giving you purpose. He says, V'kasher yischalfu pa'amim rabos im yischadshu la'odom chidushim tovim ba'avodaso oz tosif ha'ava v'tigdal. Let's go back to our business mashal. Well, wait a second. When something new happens, there's a new sense of enthusiasm. There's a new project. There's a new, I don't know, there's a new piece of technology in the office. There's a new strategy. There's a new partner who comes in. These opportunities for yischadshus, or maybe if it's I move to a new boss, or I move to a new office, or I move to a new job. So these are opportunities to feel good. And those, the more good things that are injected, so the Yemei Ahava come more. And what happens if Yischalfu Dvar Moraim, somebody picks up a miserable boss, or they have a frustrating client, so then it makes it more frustrating. And then he says, if nothing happens, Yushneim Shavim. So now, two lines later, va'achare, and now first word on the line, va'achare asher gilinu sod ha'ava v'hasinah. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, this is a secret. If you didn't know it, life runs in cycles. There are cycles when you feel up, and there are cycles when you feel down. What's the avoda? Ki tzorech labal ha'avoda l'hakar b'tchilas ha'avoda ki ha'ava v'hasinah nilchamim shneim. A person needs to know at the outset that these two energies are constantly there. They're constantly struggling. They're constantly pushing. Pam yigvar ha'echod u'pam yigvar ha'sheni. Va'al kein ein tzorch b'tchilaso avoda lios choshesh im yakutzba. Ki ze mishpat ha'ava b'tchilaso. Ki sagil etachlis yodua v'techdal. Don't despair or be discouraged the first time you hit that wall of frustration. He says, I'm inspired, I'm learning my commitment, whatever I decided I'm going to do, and then I get to one day and I find it's a total turnoff. I'm not inspired. You know, I'm frustrated, I'm tired, I'm burnt out. So Rabbeinu Tam says, before you started on this path of your avoda, you should know right at the outset, in the beginning, that that's going to happen. So what happens when you know that it's going to come? Why is that important?
You write it out.
That's it. You write it out. Do not be no'ash. Where does no'ash come from?
Yeah.
That's right. Yish. You know what's interesting? That the idea of not being misyayish can be associated with one very famous Hasidic master, who, by the way, it's interesting that his Hasidus has not established a successor, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he died when Abraham Lincoln was 1 year old. And that was Rav Nachman of Breslov. Ein shum yish ba'olam. That was one of the big ideas that has become recently, has become very popular in the Torah of Rav Nachman, is the idea of not despairing. You know that Rav Nachman suffered from depression? Real depression. He writes about it. So a person who was mamish down at the bottom is telling us, Ein shum yish ba'olam. That's why one of the famous statements from Rav Nachman is, if you believe that you can break something, you have to believe that you can fix it. Im ata ma'amin sheyicholim lekalkel, ta'amin sheyicholim letaken. Rav Nachman, I assume that he went through periods in life where he was at the top, and then Nevuch periods of life where he was at the bottom. And he's telling us, Ein Shum Yish Ba'olam, because it's the same idea of Rabbeinu Tam. If you, at the start of it, know that you're going to go through that cyclical thing, you don't give up when you're at the bottom. Because you see, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to come back up. V'al kein tzarech hamaskel b'roso, a person who is paying attention, when he sees kitikani sasina balibo v'yakutz ba'avoda, when he comes to shul and he's not in the mood to daven, When he sits down at the Gemara and he feels like, I'm just not interested. When he's not feeling connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should know that that's going to happen. And therefore, Lebal Yaniach Kol HaMaisa. Don't give it up. Push through it. Stay committed to it. Because don't say, oh, I'm going to leave it alone. I'll come back when I'm feeling inspired. If you give it all up, yovad miyado. Lo yovad. If you hang on a little bit during that rough period, it won't be lost. Lamashal, a person's davening. A person comes to davening and they are feeling inspired. They're connecting. They're meditating on the Ribono Shalom. They're feeling that they're uplifted. And then one day they come to davening and they're not so inspired. So instead of saying, you know what, I'm not inspired today. I'm not going to daven at all. They'll daven. A person should daven. They might daven more quickly. They might not say the extra Mizmor Tehillim that they would say. Maybe they got there a little bit late, so they say Ashrei, you know, instead of all the Halukas, whatever it is. But hold on to it. Don't give it up. Because you know that, okay, it might be a day of bad davening, it might be 2 days of bad davening, it might be 3 days, but at some point, if you stick with it, if you keep working at it, tikane sa'ava belibo, and it comes back to the rut zone. If it's important to us, if it's a value to us, if it's something that we think is precious, so then we're going to make it a priority to work on it. We're not necessarily going to feel great about it the first day, but we can go through that cycle. The Yimei Ava and Yimei Sina. So Rabbi Tam says, number one, life is a cycle. And it's inevitable, he says. Part of Avoda is going to be going through a rough time. Number two, he says, is that you should know that it's going to happen so you can anticipate it. And number three, when you're going through that low point, that rough period, so then you should make sure to stick with it, don't give it all up. Those are the three core components of this paragraph. So now Rav Volbe says, based on this, Bezeh, Makif Sefer HaYasher Eskol Mahalach HaTkufos HaOvros Alinu B'Avodas Hashem. Through this, we have given you the full gamut of our experience in our Avodas Hashem. Second line, on the right-hand side, bottom paragraph, Hinenu Lomdem Mikan Kechiluf Matzavei HaRuach Davar Tevihi. A person shouldn't check out completely when he gets to these dog days. You know what the Rabbeinu Tam says? Says Rav Volbe, give yourself a little bit of space. If you know you're in a rough patch, don't expect of yourself the same thing as you did if you were in a good time. If you had that harchavas hadas. Give it a little space. Aval yachzik mimenu b'miksaso b'chol mechir, at any cost, ki ozlo yafsid eis asher hisig kvar. When I was in Karen B'Yavne, my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Stav, who I still stay in touch with, he used to tell us, he said, it's kedai to take upon yourself a little Kabbalah, especially at the beginning of the year, you're thinking about Rosh Hashanah, new perspectives. He said, take something very small. Let's say you're going to take two Mishnayos a day. He would say, take two Mishnayos a day, let's say for an example. And he said, you would have to stick with that irrespective of what comes. Let's say you're in a bad mood, you don't feel like it, they're too difficult Mishnayos, you had a wedding, you come back at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know what he told us? He said, you should learn two Mishnayos, just read through the words. You don't understand anything, doesn't matter. You're in a bad mood, you stick with it. You know, maybe tonight you're going to pick two easy Mishnayos, two quick Mishnayos. You keep your consistency. Maybe you're Niachmat. Usually you learn the Mishnayos with analysis. You're not in the mood. But don't give it up. And through that consistency, you're going to swing back. And he used to tell us, don't worry. If you keep doing your Mishnayos, eventually you'll finish Shas Mishnayos or come back to it. And it's true. So you can have a commitment. You can have a Derech HaAvoda, a path that we're going to be committed to, that I'm going to find this person to me in Avodas Hashem, and I'm going to be able to stick with it, even though I can go a little easier on the gas. I don't have to be, you know, 100% every time. But it's all coming to the same you sow it, I think. Which is that, number one, it's not all or nothing. There are yamei ava, yamei sina. It's a cycle. And number two, therefore, you can be self-aware about how you're doing right now, and you can adjust accordingly. So now we can see how, obviously, this is important, al derech avoda. And I would think that this could be a powerful tool when we think about parenting. Because that means that children go through yamei ava and yamei sina. So kids are going through the cycle of yamei ava and sina. Our children are going through days when they come home from school or they go to school and they're totally on fire and they're excited and they're looking to learn. And then there are days that they're not on fire and they're not excited. So what happens when we catch our kids when they're in the yamei sina, when they're not in a good mood? So if we expect from them, if we push them to perform as if it was yamei ava, so then there's going to be a breakdown here. There's going to be a point of tension. Because, you know what? They're kids. They're also entitled to yamei sina. And if we expect from them all the time yamei ava, then we're not being realistic. And we're endangering them because we're not letting them go through those natural cycles. And sometimes it could be because they went to a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah the night before and they're tired. And maybe it's just because they're in a bad mood, or they have a teacher that doesn't click with them, or they're going through a phase at home where they're having temper tantrums and they're screaming on the kitchen floor and they're kicking. A lot of us, we've seen this, even if it's in our own homes, others. So to validate the fact that they're allowed to have yamei sina, that a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old, they're allowed to have yamei sina. Rabbeinu Tam says it's okay. So if it's good enough for the Rabbeinu Tam, it should be good enough for my 8-year-old. So we need to tell the kids, that's okay. You know, you're having a rough day in school. Tomorrow will be a better day. If not tomorrow, next year will be a better teacher. Whatever it is. But to recognize that our kids can have yamei ava and yamei sina. So number one, we don't build expectations from them that they're always going to be at 100% functioning, because we're not, and neither are they. So we don't build that expectation for them. And number two, we can tell them, you know what? It's okay. We all go through this. So you had a rough day today, it'll be a better day tomorrow. If not tomorrow, the next day. But it's normal that people go through ups and downs. Because otherwise, like the Rabbeinu Tam said, what happens when if a kid is not understanding that there are ups and downs, and we need, you know, maybe these are dvarim pshutim, but we need to be mechazik them. If a kid doesn't know there are ups and downs, what happens when they hit their first real downer? It's a huge crisis. Rahman Litzlan. If a person, a child, an adolescent especially, hits such a downer and they don't know that there's yamei ava at the end of the tunnel, they don't see that it's a cycle, Rahman al-Islam, what could happen? So we need to tell our kids, there are yamei ava and there are yamei sina, and it's going to be a cycle. We need to tell them what the Rabbeinu Tam says. But I think, maybe even more importantly, for us to be good parents, we have to know that as parents, we have yamei ava and yamei sina. And this is something that I think about for myself. Because I'm not always the best parent. I'm not. I don't know anybody who is perfect. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yachta. And so for all of us, there are times where we have yamei sina. Where we have days where, you know, we close the door and we're like, you know what? I totally mishandled that situation. I totally messed it up. And then you start going through because I did that, my kid is going to be messed up and I'm going to ruin his life. And I did, you know, we have yamei sina. Sometimes we're overtired. Sometimes we're at the end of our rope. Sometimes it's because we're getting ganged up on by 5 other things and we're having a rough time. And our house, that's like we started at the beginning, that's the ultimate mirror. Because we could put on a show on the outside, but in our home, that's who we really are. That's where we're really on for ourselves. So to say to ourselves, you know what, it's okay. Like Rav Nachman said, like the Rabbeinu Tam said, you know what, it's true. Today was a rough day. We all have yamei sina. Today was a rough day. It didn't go the way I wanted. If I could replay that interaction with my child, I would totally do it differently. But you know what? Tomorrow's another day. Tomorrow's another interaction. And by doing that, we give ourselves a chance to pick ourselves up and not to get down too far, not to get stuck in, I'm a bad parent, I can't do this, da da da, you know, all that kind of that thinking. No, push that out, because we know there are going to be days where we're not going to be the best parents. So how does Rav Volpe conclude with one more yisod? Based on what the Rabbeinu Tam said in the middle, he said, well, wait a second, what's one thing that can bring more Yemei Ahava? What did the Rabbeinu Tam say? The injection of new positive reinforcement, of new excitement, new motivation. So the more you have that, the more it's going to be Yemei Ahava. So he says, on the second to top line on the left column, he says, what's going to happen? The top line, he says, Hana v'achidush. Hana and chidush. That positive reinforcement. Kol hana v'chol chidush beruchnius magbir mesa'ava. So what can we do as parents? We can look for that ava and that chidush. We can realize that, yeah, there are opportunities to improve, that sometimes we need to pick ourselves up. But how do we increase the Yemei Ahava? It's strategizing for ways to have those nice times together, those special moments. And the more that we build in those special moments, that can, you know, we feel like at the end of that day, like, oh, you know what? I did the right thing. I did a good job parenting today. I had to discipline my child, but I did it in the right way. That, you know what? Even though my kid was upset, deep down he felt good about it, or she felt good about it. You know, we're going to plan a family activity that, you know, next week we're going to do such and such. So what happens? We get in the car, we start driving, and that's when the screaming starts. That's when the meltdowns happen. That's when the complaints happen. So that's going to be, you know, your opportunity to say, is this going to be Yemei Sina? And we'll ride it out. Or can we strategize to make it Yemei Ahava? We're going to discipline, or we're going to set expectations in a way that, you know, we're going to make it fun. Maybe one kid is crying, but we'll let them sit in the back, and for the other kids, we'll turn on the music. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to make this trip more hischachus. What's that? We're going to download, I don't know, we're going to download new songs to the iPhone or the iPad or whatever, and we're going to let every kid pick their next song. And we're going to find more ways to create those positive parenting moments, and hopefully through that, to be magbir the Yemei Ahava. And then when we come to Rosh Hashanah, we look at our children, we come to Yom Kippur, we look at our children, we can look back on tons of Yemei Ahava, and also the Yemei Sina. And then we can say to our children, you know what, this past year we had a lot of Yemei Ahava, we also had Yemei Sina, and I hope you'll forgive me for that. And we didn't expect you to be perfect this past year, because children have Yemei Ahava and Yemei Sina, and we know you didn't expect us. But the same way that we're going to model for you, that we're going to pick ourselves up and be better parents, you, our children, are going to do the same thing. You're going to pick yourselves up when you have a rough day. So I think this Torah, at least for me, is very powerful in Torah. It's powerful in parenting. But it's powerful in life. And the idea that Ein Shum Yush Bolam, that we should not despair, and that we should see that there are cycles, and that we can give ourselves positive reinforcement to extend the Yemei Ahava, I find that it's a positive idea for me. I don't know if anybody wants to share any ideas or yesodos or applications of this, but I think if you think about it in the context of parenting, it could be very pertinent.
I can tell you, for me personally, it speaks to me tremendously in terms of professional stuff. And I mean, even in terms of strategy, like you said, we get new technology, those are just toys, and it becomes more and more fun. And it, you know, so not every case employs it, but it's a good day if I get to do this thing. So that does speak to me. But I wonder just like what you think, and in general, maybe what the group thinks about, like, I don't know if there's how this fits in with modern sensitivities of like you're having a bad day. I think it's, to me, it seems like different than the classical theory that's pervasive in the workplace and probably at home too. Like, having a bad day, push through it. Don't, like, you know, there is this concept of, okay, you need a vacation, right? But there's also a concept of, like, you still got work to do. You can't learn just half a Mishnah, right? You gotta do what you set out to accomplish today. The going gets tough, the tough get going, right? There's a little bit of a conflict between that. I don't know which one I tend to, in my own head, employ more as my own strategy, but do you?
So I'll tell you what I think, and then we can hear what others think. What Rabdani is pointing out, I think, I can understand it correctly, 100%, is, well, wait a second. On the one hand, you know, we tell people that just because you're not in the mood, you have to do it anyway. On the other hand, now we're saying, well, if you're not really in the mood, so, you know, you don't have to be committed. So I don't think what he's saying is that you don't have to be committed if you're not in the mood. I think he's saying that you do have to be committed. And I think a good model for that would be, I'll give you an example. We have this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over us at Har Sinai like a barrel. So it sounds like for the Gemara and Shabbos that was kind of like a threatening, you know, Chicago-style coercion of if you take the Torah, great, if not, shamtik v'raskam. On the other hand, if you look in Rav Kasher's collection of Midrashim on Pesach Tisahar, he quotes a Midrash about Yonasi b'chag v'asela, that it was like a marriage canopy. So I think we have to look at them together. And that's what I think he means. And aniach hakol atav achzor aleha. So maybe we need to, during the Yemei Sinah, adjust our expectations, but we have to maintain that commitment of yaniach hakol yovad miyado, which is part of Judaism is, when you feel like it, being inspired. You know, yonasi b'chag v'asela. Ah, it's like, it's like our wedding day with the Kadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. But you know what? With that comes a firm commitment. You know, if you only teach your kids that it's all about the free love and the wedding at Har Sinai, well, when the things do get rough, then what's going to happen? There's no commitment. They're going to be gone. And if all you tell your kids is, you better do this because God put a barrel over our heads and said he's going to kill us, so then that's also not going to work. There has to be both of them. So I think the emphasis here is, yeah, you're going to be coming to davening anyway. You're going to be committed to doing what you're doing, but recognizing that it won't be with the same dimension, the same quality of excitement, and that's okay. Someone told me once, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, he said, you know why you have to daven every day, why the halacha demands that you come to shul 3 times a day, you daven shachris, mincha, mariv, even if you're not in the mood, it doesn't matter? I don't know, this is an apocryphal story, and people say lots of things about Rav Soloveitchik and what he said, but he said, apparently, you need to daven 3 times a day, every day, so that one time, once in a while, when you know you need to daven, you'll have the ability to daven. You'll have the connection, you'll have that portal. Because otherwise you would be lost, you wouldn't know where to start or where to finish. So the consistency and the commitment needs to be there. But at the same time, you shouldn't expect from yourself that it's always going to be at the same level. And I think that's at least how I understand this, and that's how I apply it. We don't say to our kids, yeah, you know, you don't feel like doing your homework today, at least in my house. You know what? You're right, it's Yemei Sinah, take a day off. No. You have to do your homework. You know, you have a teacher that you don't get along with. Too bad. That's life. You know, and that's certainly the way I was raised. You know, it is what it is, and that's life, right? What's that? Exactly. No one said you have to be happy about it. But at the same time, we don't have to harp on, you know, we're not going to make that class or that teacher into the center of your life. You're going to get through with it, and you're going to get over it. And you know what we're going to talk about at the dinner table? Let's talk about the teacher that you do like. Let's focus on the things that you do well. You know, we have a lot of expectations for our kids, and they're important, and they are necessary. But not every kid has to excel in all those expectations. So we're not going to emphasize for every kid the same thing. For certain kids, certain things are going to be more Yemei Sinah, and for them, they're going to have to emphasize something else. So I think, of course, it's a balance. And I could tell you, we all need, ultimately, an enormous amount of Siyata Dishmaya. And I look for Siyata Dishmaya, and I hope to God that every day is going to help me be a good parent and give Siyata Dishmaya, that we should all raise our children B'derech HaTorah. But I think it's an important validation for the kids and for us to think about the fact that it's okay, there's Yemei Av and Yemei Sinah, not to Laval Yaniach V'im Yach Zemenu V'Miksosu Lo Yovad, but Im Yaniach HaKol Yovad Miyado, not to let it go, but to validate the fact that, you know what, you are having a tough time, you do have a tough teacher, this particular thing is not easy for you. Some kids, it's going getting to bed earlier, you know, it's not easy for them. Some, it's getting up in the morning for some, you know, every kid, we all know, for those of us who have children, we know that different kids have different things. And recognizing and validating the Yimei Av and Yimei Sinah, that's one way to look at it. What were we going to say, Aaron?
Very different things.
Yeah.
So the book that I was raised up on, and definitely passed on to my kids, is Alexander the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Okay.
Where basically like, everything goes wrong. It's just, the concept is, you know, just some days are like that. Get past it. But it's I think the very interesting point here is to recognize that you're buying into the system that you are going to have Yemesina, and you are going to have Yemesina. So once you know that coming in, it's a sunk cost at that point.
I thought that's also, it's just a fascinating thing that the Rabbi Nutam is saying, you're going to have that, what is it called, the very horrible, awful...
No good, bad day.
No good, very bad day.
Yeah, you can't avoid it. You can't avoid it, that's part of life. And so that's where you start. All right.